Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and you can join us for Star Wars Night on Saturday, August 26th, as the White Sox take on the Tigers at 6:10 p.m. First 15,000 in attendance will take home a White Sox Stormtrooper bobblehead. Plus, stick around for a post-game fireworks show presented by the Magellan Corporation. Purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com. We're calling 866 Sox game. Been teasing it for a while. Nicky Delmonico going to join us in just a minute or so. I sat down with Nicky yesterday in the White Sox dugout, talked a bit about his success as a call-up for the White Sox here over the last handful. In fact, here's your fun fact. We gave you the Adam Engel fun fact just before we hit the 4:30 news. Here's your Nicky Delmonico fun fact. Delmonico reached on an infield single last night. Wasn't pretty. Got it off the end of the bat. But he reached. And that matters because he becomes the very first White Sox player to reach base safely in each of his first 10 career games since Larry Rosenthal in 1936. What's even more fun, Fabian Araya wrote this at MLB.com too. The hit probability on Delmonico's squibber down to third, 11%. That's right, 11%. Didn't have much of a chance, but Delmonico was beating it down the first baseline and got himself on board. Mel Simmons, the guy to do it before Larry did in 1931, so going all the way back to 1913, those are the three White Sox players that have done it. Reached base safely in their first 10, Mel Simmons in 31, Larry Rosenthal in 36, and Nicky Delmonico in 2017. I sat down with Delmonico yesterday in the White Sox dugout, and a good conversation with him about, you know, seeing some of his, he's been in this organization for a little bit, knows a lot of these guys that are coming up, and, you know, yesterday he was about ready to watch a guy that he played defense behind in Ronaldo Lopez make his White Sox debut. So I asked, you know, what it was in his head, what it kind of felt like to have all these guys coming up and in different ways and in pretty real ways, you know, realizing what is a dream of a young ball player.
It's not only special for me, but it's special to see that with, you know, all of us, because it's a goal that, you know, we've been working for a long time, and to be able to do it and do it together is special.
I'm sure you guys talked about what it would be like when this all happened.
Yeah.
Does it feel like you thought it would?
No, it feels so much better. So much better.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, you talk about being a big leaguer for as long as what? Since you're probably 12? I mean, you played on...
Since you're little.
Yeah.
You're always, you know, out in the backyard saying, you know,
O2,
I'm Ken Griffey Jr. This.
Delmonico up.
Yeah.
Bases loaded. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were Griffey?
Griffey, just because I was left-handed.
And swing.
You know, it was the sweetest swing ever. So, of course,
sense.
You had to go with it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So did you grow up a fan of your Knoxville guy, Tennessee guy? Where do your baseball loyalties as a kid lie growing up?
You know, Tennessee baseball. My dad was the head coach for 18 years.
Right.
So I was at the field, you know, as much as he was, I felt like. On the road, my teachers would have my homework ready for Friday because I wasn't going to school. I was traveling with my dad's team. So growing up, Tennessee baseball was, you know, a big thing for me.
Did you have a big league club when you were a kid?
I kind of liked, you know, the Braves growing up since
they're
the closest. Pretty big Braves fan. And then, you know, I always liked watching the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry. So, but overall, I just had, you know, mainly just fans of people. You know, a big Jeter Frank fan growing up. And, you know, just loved watching the game.
So because you grew up as close to the game and as your family is so much of a part of the game as you were, do you think that, you know, Ricky Renteria talks about you having the it factor, and Team USA named you their first captain in that team's history. Do you think that has something to do with the bloodlines?
I think so. You know, because ever since I can remember, I was in the dugout watching, you know, players do the, you know, things the right way and the things the wrong way. And, you know, I kind of picked up on that, and I think that was huge for me. I had two older brothers, too, so I got to learn from them also. And, you know, just learning from my dad and the players that he had.
So you watched a bunch of Red Sox-Yankees games.
Mm-hmm.
You get your first dinger in Fenway.
Yeah.
Electric?
Well, what was special is the last time I was in Fenway was, I think, 03. The White Sox were playing the Red Sox. And I was there with my brother and my dad, and my first game back... there I was playing in there, and that's the one I hit the home run in front of my brother. My brother was there too, and I think that was pretty special to do that.
So, you know, the power is so much a big part of the game right now, but we've seen, and Ed and DJ on the radio broadcast have mentioned it a couple of times, you've dropped down bunts when the shift gives them to you. How long have you been doing that? How much do the White Sox coach that?
Well, down in the farm system in Charlotte, we would do it at least once a week with the machine, work on beating the shift. And I'll tell you, as a hitter, when you hit the ball hard into the hole and it should be a hit, you know, you start thinking, okay, you know, I should bunt maybe, you know, open up that hole. So for me, if, you know, it's over there and, you know, two things, it's a free knock and, you know, it's something to get, you know, an inning going and get something going.
When you have a defense that's lined up like that early on in your career like this, I know you don't have anything to compare to later on down the line, but did it surprise you some that, you know, a guy with 20, 30 major league at-bats at best when you drop this last one down has a shift like that on him?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because right off the bat, what happened is I hit a few balls in the hole.
Right.
So within, you know, two or three at-bats later, they start shifting me. And for me to get that hole back open, the only way to do it is to show them that you can bunt and lay it down. And then, you know, naturally, they went back to the, you know, their old positions.
So. We talk about this game being a game of adjustments. Did you think that it would be so dynamic that the adjustments would happen within at-bats like that?
Kind of. You know, everybody here, they do matchups right away. They don't mess around. They go to the pen. So my first couple of games here, I felt like, you know, it's more of adjustments like you were saying right off the bat. They don't wait around. They, you know, everybody has a scouting report. So, you know, the only way to open it up is to lay a bunt down on them.
How do you like to deal with the information that you can get at this level? I mean, I'm sure at AAA you get a ton of stuff. Here you're going to get pitching reports and advanced scouting and stuff. Do you like to have as much of it as you can find? Do you go look for certain pieces on matchups? How do you like to absorb
what
it?
What I like is the video. And we got a lot of stuff. I don't like to look too much into it. I just like to see how he pitches, what he does, what are his strengths, and then kind of, you know, take that into my game plan.
Do you think that by knowing a guy's strength, you know if you're 0-2 or maybe you've got him on the rope some, you know what he's coming with?
Like, yeah, that, and that's the biggest thing. And not so you sit on a pitch,
sure,
but you just, you know, you kind of have a better game plan of what is he trying to do and what am I trying to do to have the most success for me.
How's DHing?
Good. I like it. You know, I'm kind of loose as it is.
Yeah.
I'm very good at, for me, as in flushing and it, and at bat and kind of getting over it. A lot of people need defense to kind of flush it out. But, you know, I like it. I stay loose. I go in the cage and, you know, I kind of have my own routine when I DH, so that kind of helps.
You got to imagine that, you know, at some point you're going to be playing a little bit of corner stuff, whether it be third, whether it be first. Come up mostly as a third baseman. How comfortable are you going on the other side?
I played first. First time I played first was with Team USA, so I got to learn it in high school. Played third, short on high school as well. So, and in the minor leagues, it's kind of been back and forth. So, if I get thrown over there at any time, I feel comfortable. And for me, that's, you know, one of the biggest things is being comfortable with it.
So, because you grew up so close to the game, what do you do to get away from the game? Are there things that you can do to unplug and kind of release a little bit?
Like midseason?
Yeah, let's say, God forbid, somebody gets an O for tonight and it's a rough one. How do you go, you know, unplug?
Well, to be honest, you gotta, as soon as you walk into the clubhouse and you got to be able to flush it. You got to, like, before I eat, before I, you know, shower, it's kind of, you got to clock out.
Yeah.
And then also when you go home that night, I like to, you know, find a TV show and, you know, get you laughing at least. I try to stay with the comedies.
Sure.
So it kind of gets you away. And then, you know, you wake up and you have your breakfast and you go throughout your day as if yesterday was nothing. Even if you go 4 for 4, I feel like you still have to have something where you can't get too high or too low.
What are you binging right now then on Netflix?
So I just got done with The 100.
Sure, yeah.
Got done with Shooter. Right now I'm...
Mickey, those aren't comedies though.
Yeah, but right now I just picked up Shameless.
Okay. Well, that's local stuff.
Yeah.
That's this side of town.
So it's comedy and yeah, you're right.
I know that we've actually talked about that show on the show, Shameless, on White Sox Weekly a couple of times. It's it paints a picture.
Yeah. I like it. I mean, I think on episode 4 right now.
Okay.
And
All right, well, we won't get any spoilers.
Yeah,
you'll enjoy it, I promise. Yeah. Nicky, really appreciate you sitting down. Thanks.
All right,
good to get to know you.
Thank you.
Not sure if Nicky finished episode 5 of Shameless on Netflix last night, but he did get himself a hit, so I would imagine there was some sort of celebration after the ballgame. I don't know if that's celebration or if that's just kind of unplugging. I guess that's kind of unclear. We'll have to go back and talk to Nicky some about the Netflix habits of one Nicky Delmonico. Couple of things to do when we turn it around after the break here. An update on Matt Davidson from the manager, Ricky Renteria. The White Sox have made a trade yesterday as well as promoting Ronaldo Lopez to from AAA into the big leagues. So we'll get you posted on that. Our farm report is on the way. We'll probably start that at 5 o'clock or so. So here's what you can do on the show for the rest of the way. Give us a call, 312-591-8900. If you've got a White Sox prospect that you want to hear about and how he's been doing down in the minor leagues over the last couple of days, feel free. You can drop us the note on Twitter at C1McKnight, and we'll, you know, go through that guy's line and let you know how he's been hitting or pitching over the last couple of weeks. We'll hit the big ones, that's for sure. You'll hear, actually, Rick Hahn talk a bit about Eloy Jimenez and Michael Kopech during our farm report. But up next, some news and notes, so to speak, from the White Sox and elsewhere around baseball. A couple of things shaking this afternoon, so keep it right here. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
White Sox Weekly.
News, notes, stats, and anything else that you missed this week.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, hanging out with you until the start of the pregame show at 5:35. Then I'll just be doing the pregame show with you at 5:35 up until we start our game. 6:10 is first pitch. It'll be James Shields and Ian Kennedy on the mound. DJ will have lineups for you in his portion of the pregame ceremonies, but Nicky Delmonico's back in the lineup. He's batting 5 and DHing. Yolmer Sanchez is at third. Tim Anderson at short. Adam Engel is in center field. And I was just, can I release that information, DJ, out there to everybody? Yeah, I think I can. Adam Engel told DJ that 6-3 was his fastest 60 time ever. 6-3, his fastest 60-yard dash. Just got that from DJ up here in the booth. He's hanging out for a little while. You can join us at Guaranteed Rate Field as the White Sox take on the Tampa Bay Rays on Saturday, September 2nd. First 20,000 fans will receive a Mark Burley bobblehead presented by Toyota. Visit WhiteSox.com to purchase your tickets today or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. So that's one little piece of news and note out of the way. Adam Engel, his fastest 60-yard dash, a 6.3. That is quite fast. Engel with two triples last night. We gave you the fun facts around those a little earlier in the show. One note from Ricky Renteria. Earlier this afternoon, he was telling White Sox beat reporters that Matt Davidson felt soreness again in his wrist when he tried to swing today. So they're going to back down on the activity until things start to calm down and he feels a little bit more comfortable, much more comfortable and pain-free, I suppose. Probably the wait until Matt Davidson gets back into swinging in the cage. Matt yesterday talked with him a little bit and he seemed pretty hopeful, relatively hopeful that that first game against the Dodgers Tuesday. White Sox have one more against the Royals here, the off day Monday, and then they're in L.A. to face the Dodgers for a pair starting Tuesday and Wednesday. So it looks like Davidson, though he was targeting that two-game series to get back, is going to have to wait a little while longer. And instead, you would imagine that that opens up more bats for a guy like Nicky Delmonico, who's been on base in each of his first 10 ball games. Ricky has mentioned, too, that it's nice to have a lefty, just a pure lefty in the lineup that can spot around to a couple of different positions, be it DH or left field or perhaps third or first or maybe even a little bit of right, though I think those the other positions probably much more comfortable for Delmonico early on in his career. A couple of notes as well. The White Sox made a trade yesterday. They picked up Ryan Burr from the Arizona Diamondbacks in exchange for international signing bonus pool money. Burr is 23 years old, had a 1.89 ERA over 57 innings down at Class A Kane County and Class A Visalia. That's high A and low A in the Diamondbacks organization. He'd struck out 75 in 57. I may have said that. Had five saves as well. Big guy, too. 6'4", 230. He's averaging 11.8 strikeouts per nine. Big-time strikeout guy. He's from Colorado. He went to Arizona State and is the all-time saves leader at Arizona State. So he's an arm that has been a bullpen guy for most of his, you know, collegiate career and now into his professional career. Actually got a scouting report on Burr for you as well. It's from somebody who's seen him pitch and pitch for a while. Fastball, slider, change. Sits in the mid-90s. Can top out right around 95, 96. Though I have heard some that maybe he might have a little bit more velocity than that. Perhaps he's looking to control and command things a little bit better. Had 38 saves at ASU, and the other half of the scouting report is that when Ryan is able to keep things, you know, together and calm and he's in command, he is absolutely dominant. So, be interesting to see if a guy in Ryan Burr, who has had a reliever's pedigree, I guess, is able to be one of the quick-rising relief prospects that we've seen throughout the league in the last couple of years. I think it's interesting to watch, you know, as the big-time pitching prospects come up and through, we're so used to, or at least I am, so used to bullpen aces. Maybe not necessarily closers, but, you know, guys like Wade Davis or guys like Zach Britton, or even going back, you know, farther and farther in time, further and further in time, a guy like Dennis Eckersley, who was switched into the bullpen, or John Smoltz, who, and I know that's a little different because of injury, but switched into the bullpen some. You know, we think of starters who kind of move into that role and rise to positions of extreme dominance. But there are, you know, guys who come up who have been relievers for a while, who have that pedigree that make impact and can rise pretty quickly. So at 23, a guy who's got experience at Arizona State, some pretty good collegiate competition, perhaps, he's a guy who might be pitching at a level where his experience kind of overtakes and his stuff might dominate some, and maybe he's got a chance to make a couple of promotions in 2018's season and rise through the level. Ryan Burr, one of the newest White Sox arms in that stable of White Sox talent. Speaking of, we will, after the 5 o'clock news, go through the farm report a little bit. White Sox general manager Rick Hahn spoke a couple of days ago about the impending call-up of Ronaldo Lopez, and that was the bulk of the conversation. But he was also asked a couple of things about some of the other prospects, and I want to highlight those guys, not that they've not been highlighted before, both on the show and elsewhere, you know, maybe places like MLB Network and, you know, national outlets. Michael Kopech and Eloy Jimenez are making a lot of noise in the White Sox farm organization, and they have been taken note of. So we figured we'd hear from the general manager about those two guys and the seasons they've had and go through the rest of the farm system as well. If you want to chime in, you're more than welcome to. 312-591-8900. Give us a phone call and let us know who you want to know a little bit more about in the White Sox farm system. Or you can drop us a note on Twitter, too. @C1McKnight is the Twitter handle, and that's how you can join us there. We're going to pause it real quick. 5 o'clock news is next, and we'll be back with more here on White Sox Weekly. You've got WLS AM 890.
What the hell's going on out here?
White Sox Weekly Farm Report.
We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Candlesticks always make a nice gift, and maybe you can find out where she's registered, maybe a place setting or maybe a silverware pattern.
On WLS AM 890.
Okay, let's get to it.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. We are at the Farm Report section of the show. We'll start the pregame show in about half an hour or so. White Sox and Royals getting ready to go here. James Shields and Ian Kennedy, the starters. But down on the farm, we've had some stuff going on that's definitely worth talking about. And I think some of it starts with the pitching and Ronaldo Lopez coming up yesterday. You know, he had been so good down at AAA Charlotte over the last 2 months or so. And now working out the rest of that rotation down at AAA will be interesting. Chris Volstad has the start today for the Charlotte Knights. They beat the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs 5-2 yesterday. Rob Brantley, who's not exactly a prospect, but he was 3-for-4 with 2 home runs. So that was fairly interesting. It's been a good go for Lucas Giolito over the last little bit. There have been hiccups, and there have been hiccups for Carson Fulmer as well. But I think, by and large, when you look at where things were for Giolito and how coaches have kind of talked about, you know, guys like Don Cooper reworking the delivery and letting him get back to the things that he had been doing going into the Nationals after being drafted, after recovering from a Tommy John and then coming back, I think you can kind of understand. He ranks second in shutouts. He's got two, fifth in strikeouts in the International League, 127. Nice to see that kind of season kind of come together for Lucas Giolito. Down at Double A, Michael Kopech has been absolutely fantastic. He'll start today, in fact, at Double A for Kannapolis. Kopech, too, was a subject of conversation with Rick Hahn and some of the reporters a couple of days ago. Wanted you to hear what Kopech or what Hahn had to say about Kopech and kind of how he's evaluated his season this year. He leads the league in strikeouts, the Southern League, 145 strikeouts in total. He's gotten deeper into ball games more regularly as well. And I think for Kopech, too, what's been impressive is the walks dropping down some. You know, he's not walked over two batters since July 4th in a start. Each one of those starts has gone more than six. He got tuned up a little bit toward the end of June and early July. Three innings and then three and a third, giving up five and four, walking a handful, strikeouts. He got hit around a little bit. But since July 14th, six innings, one earned run. Eight innings, shutout. Six innings, one earned run. Seven innings, one earned run. Seven innings, no earned runs, shutout ball. Double-digit strikeouts in two of those five starts, eight and eight in there as well. He's been very, very good. And I think Kopech might be one of the best young arms, one of the best young pitching prospects in baseball. I think you look around at organizations like MLB Pipeline, who have ranked the White Sox the best farm system in baseball here at the break, midseason. I believe Baseball America did the same. Yahoo Sports, with their rankings coming out just earlier this week, have the White Sox top, and a lot of them say that Michael Kopech is a big reason why. Here's what the general manager, Rick Hahn, had to say about Kopech a couple of days ago.
Again, when we started this year, every player obviously comes with an individual development plan and goals for the season. And I'd say the two most important for Michael were, first and foremost, taking the ball every fifth day for the course of an entire season, which was something that he had not done. The second one was being able to respond to the challenge of being 21 years old and pitching in the Southern League, which is an advanced placement. He's passed both of those, knock on wood, with flying colors. And as you pointed out, over the last several starts, even though he's been past his career high in terms of innings pitched, he's actually seems to be pitching even better. He's gotten greater command of the fastball. The slider's obviously a plus pitch, and he's trusting the changeup more. So he's checking off boxes that were even a little bit lower in terms of reasonable expectations for his season. That said, if he just continues to take the ball every fifth day and finishes through August strong, I will view it as a very successful season for Michael. In fact, you probably already can call it a very successful season for Michael.
In a perfect world, every one of these prospects would pan out and be all-stars.
But I like that.
It doesn't happen. So every time one of these guys come up, you kind of hold your breath and go, gee, I hope this works out.
It's not so much holding the breath and hoping it works out. It's more wanting to make sure that people understand that how one individual player performs is not a mandate on how the entire process is going. Obviously, we think the world of Moncada. We think he's going to be a truly fine impact talent in this game for a long time. That said, how he does in his first 100 plate appearances doesn't dictate one type of player he's going to be long term, and certainly doesn't indicate how well this rebuild, so to speak, is going. He is one piece of what we hope to be many that we already have under control in the organization, and we're aware of the fact that we're likely going to have to go outside the organization to augment whichever group grows together to be that type of impact player. So again, it's not living plate appearance about one individual guy. It's about how it all comes together as a group. And candidly, we're not going to know that for several months, if not years, until this group all comes together.
It's White Sox general manager Rick Hahn a bit on Kopech, and then some, you know, words about prospect development too. I think, you know, it's something we're going to say a lot here over the next couple of years, probably more than you care to hear, but I think it's important to say prospect development, player development, not just at the minor league level, but even at the major league level, it's not linear. It can be in fits and spurts and jumps and setbacks. That's the way people are, and people are, vast majority of them, baseball players are people. So you're going to have some ups and downs in a guy's career. And I think as we watch some of these ball players here at the big league level, I mean, it's almost easy to forget how many of these young players who are big parts of this, Avi Garcia, Lourdes Garcia, Yolmer Sanchez, Tyler Saladino, you know, guys like that, Tim Anderson, are still young players in their own right. You know, yeah, they kind of feels like Yolmer has been around for quite some time, and certainly Avi has, you know, is one of the more tenured guys on this team, but there are still, you know, areas for them to improve in just having reps at a big league level. That's getting away from the farm report, as it were, for this segment, but I you know, as Rick kind of mentioned that, I thought maybe worth hitting that a time or two. Eloy Jimenez is another one of those top prospects that has the White Sox ranked number one, as the number one farm system in all of baseball by many, many outlets. Eloy, since coming over to the White Sox organization since that trade, has hit .368. He has hit 6 home runs. He has an on-base percentage of .439 and a slugging percentage of .695. His OPS total is over 1,000. It's 1.134. He's just been dynamite, absolutely dynamite for the Winston-Salem Dash. And as to Eloy's development and what may be next, and just kind of taking a look at the season as a whole, and the young man that he is again General Manager Rick Hahn.
He's been great. He's performed extremely well in the last few weeks since we had him. I think the way he's exceeded our expectations, perhaps, is just as the type of person he is and the work ethic and how he gets along with his teammates. And he's always smiling and a happy guy and a guy who wants to do everything in his power to maximize his talents, which obviously are considerable. You get what you can from as a scout from outside when you're dealing with a player from outside your organization, but it's not until you have him that you really get to see how hard he truly works on a daily basis and how that personality fits in the clubhouse. We did have high marks in terms of makeup on Eloy, but I think he's even surpassed those in the last few weeks.
He has extended, Eloy has, not Rick, his hitting streak to 10 games with a double last night. He's got 11 of those total with the Winston-Salem Dash. Zach Collins was 1-for-3 with a home run and a walk for Winston-Salem tonight. It is Dane Dunning pitching against Lynchburg. Dunning has been really good, too, since moving up to Winston-Salem. I think you'll remember he was tearing through Kannapolis. And Dunning was one of those guys, we've mentioned it before, but in talking with Nick Hostetler, the director of scouting here for the White Sox, Dunning is one of those guys who was just kind of buried on a ridiculously deep University of Florida pitching staff and was, you know, kind of an bullpen guy and had a couple of starts here and there. I shouldn't say just a couple. I mean, he did start a number of ball games, but, you know, was also used out of the bullpen. And for Dunning, who had been acquired in the Adam Eaton trade, boy, the White Sox certainly saw a potential starter there. And after he rolled through Kannapolis in a handful of starts, move up to Winston-Salem, had an issue or two, let perhaps his emotions and anger get the best of him, seemed to have worked that out, and some issues, some command issues too. And has really established well. He ranks 5th in ERA, 3.33 in the Carolina League, and 7th in WHIP, walks, hits per innings pitched, 1.27. Dunning's been real good with his control and command since then. Yasmer Solorzano is going to pitch for Kannapolis tonight. Micker Adolfo has had a real good run. Forget how, boy, talk about players who feel like they've been around forever but are still remarkably young. Adolfo's still 20, 3rd in home runs in the South Atlantic League, 67 RBI, also 3rd, 4th in total bases, 188, 5th in doubles at 27. Micker Adolfo really coming into his own, and I don't know that I saw it in spring training. I think, you know, guys were talking about it some, and certainly the reports were still high on Adolfo, but I just don't think I saw him in enough games. He got into a couple, of Cactus League games, and I saw him in a few backfields, but just a guy that was, and some of these ballplayers, some guys are like this, you're just kind of tough to find those games, the B games that they're in on backfields and whatnot, but for Adolfo, he has certainly made his season a noticeable one, and it'll be really interesting to see, hitting .279 overall, a .343 on base, a .481 slugging percentage for Adolfo at Kannapolis. Be really interesting to see where he's at in this coming spring training. I think for a lot of reasons, and Rick Hahn kind of mentioned this too, talking about Luis Robber, who is injured right now in the White Sox Dominican Summer League and will likely stay there until he gets healthy and finish out that season there, may even play in Instruct League in the Dominican Summer League after that league is over. But, you know, finding out which guys get invites to big league camp and which guys will get some at-bats against major league pitching, even just for a little bit at Glendale, will be a lot of fun to see over the next couple. And even, too, the Arizona Fall League coming up when this season ends. You know, the White Sox have a number of guys who have been to the Fall League before. Eloy Jimenez was there last season. So was Moncada, if memory serves correctly. They've done trips because they've acquired so many top prospects from other organizations. These guys have been through the Fall League before, so finding out, you know, who needs that challenge, who's ready for it, which pitchers could stand to go and work on a couple of things, that'll be a lot of fun as well. It's a big part of prospect development. One more note here. This from Kannapolis. Jake Berger, the White Sox first pick in this last draft, 11th overall, hitting .299, .370 on base, .449 slugging. He has an RBI single today for Kannapolis already. He has been just a blast to watch play. 107 at-bats already for Jake Berger, who basically went to a bit of a camp, the Arizona Institution for the White Sox, you know, right down there in Glendale, 2-3 days, I think, and then was shipped right out to Kannapolis and has done nothing but hit since getting there. By the way, he has struck out 12 times and walked 8 times. It's always a guy who in college at Missouri State had walked more than he'd struck out, and to see that number as close as it is in his first test of pro ball, strikeouts low, 107 at-bats, 12 strikeouts, walks good, 8. It's been fun to watch a lot of these young players start to develop in the pros for the White Sox. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, wrap things up. Anything you want to cover, 312-591-8900. That's the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. You've got WLS AM 890. Get on-demand access to the games you can attend with the White Sox Flex Pass. Purchase 10 lower-level tickets for $200 or 10 upper-level tickets for $70 and have the flexibility to redeem tickets to an upcoming game right from your phone. For more information or to purchase your pass today, visit whitesox.com/flexpass. And who knows, maybe you're at the ballpark, you see Ed and DJ walking around, they'll invite you into the booth to hang out and watch a game with them. Maybe, I don't know, it's possible. They're nice guys, they love company. It's entirely possible that they'll have you in their booth for watch a White Sox game. Wouldn't necessarily bet on it, but it's possible that that would happen. Real quick, before we say goodbye here, just a little piece of news that we'll cover again in the pregame show, and I didn't want you to miss in case you're driving into the ballpark today. Matt Davidson, it sounds like, is going to be slowed down some from his rehab work. He took some cuts today, wasn't quite feeling it. The wrist still bugging him some. So the White Sox are going to scale back his baseball activity, so to speak, and wait a little bit. He had been hoping to get back into the mix, perhaps that first game against the Dodgers. That'll be next Tuesday when the White Sox head out to L.A. to face the Dodgers. It sounds like it's going to be a little while after that. White Sox manager Ricky Renteria mentioned that they're going to dial back some of the activity until the pain is gone and subsides some. They don't want him to have to fight through anything at this point in the season. His first full go in the big leagues, and with a doubleheader on the 21st against Minnesota, you get the 26th man. So, you know, a couple, just making sure that, and Matt mentioned this yesterday too, about going on the disabled list in the first place. Maybe it wasn't yesterday, might have been Tuesday, sorry. That just with the long games that they've been playing, just want to make sure that everybody's safe and the White Sox have everybody they need to get a game and be competitive. You can come together for Beatles Night at Guaranteed Rate Field on Monday, August 21st. The Sox take on the Minnesota Twins. Purchase this ticket package to receive a game ticket and commemorative Beatles White Sox hat. Visit whitesox.com/Beatles to get yours today. Music means we've got to go, so thanks so much to Dave Zaslowski and Don Kleppen for helping us get on the air today. Also, thanks to Nikki Delmonico for being a part of the show, and Don Cooper, too. If you missed any of it and want to download it, go to WLSAM.com/White Sox. You can find all the podcasts right there on the website. And a lot of you guys have been downloading the podcast lately, and we really appreciate it. That's really nice of you. And we're glad that we can help keep you informed on this White Sox ball club. Stay right here. Pre-game show coming up in just a few. I'm Connor McKnight. This is WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.